Let's talk a little bit about the car. One of the venues that Apple perhaps is looking for a new market. And there's been a lot of stories about Apple going to Germany, of all places. They have an office there, right?
The office is all over the place now. It's amazing.
Well, not just, but an office designing cars.
Yeah.
That's, they have offices designing cars all over the place?
Well, I mean, the cars are going to be interesting to roll out because it's not just like a computer or a phone. The phone, you have to get FCC approval, absolutely. But to put any significant car on the road, it takes a lot of, you know, interfacing with those countries.
Apparently, Daimler had been talking with Apple about an iCar. And according to Handelsblatt, which I just like saying the name of, Handelsblatt, Daimler rejected Apple's overture to jointly design a car. So did BMW. So the German manufacturers apparently are not interested in partnering.
Well, I mean, this is the very similar. You know, Verizon turned Apple down when they wanted to, Apple had this idea of this phone and they wanted to control. It's the same thing. They wanted to control the user experience. They wanted to control the data, and Verizon was like, no one's going to do that.
Yeah, and at the time, Apple was not known for being able to make something like a smartphone, but they certainly were able to show that they could do that. But the phone is not a car. Apple, I mean, building a car might be a challenge, yes or no?
No, I think it's definitely. I mean, they're both very complex. You know,
it's so like the Razor before the iPhone.
Is a car more less complex than an iPhone? Maybe it is.
I think that the issue is that the stakes are higher. So when your iPhone crashes, it's not as big of a deal as when
that's
the car
true.
Crashes. You know? So I think that...
Well, there's a lot more metal. There's a lot more... I mean, it's more expensive to build a car, obviously.
And there's more systems.
And each one of them has to be is regulated, and each one is a safety thing. But also, it's about they don't know how a consumer reacts to a consumer product that they climb into. They know how to design something that people hold onto and put in their pockets and have that sort of contact with. But a person's relationship with a car is a really special thing that they have to really get worked out.
Right.
And there's so, as with any time we talk about Apple car rumors, there's really almost any reason for anything. One of them could be that they hired a team that could deliver expertise that they didn't have, but this team said, "Yeah, we really don't want to live in California. We want to live here, where all of our kids are in school, and also we have the resources that we need. You're going to buy us a nice, pretty building with one of those hot and cold water dispensers, and we're not moving."
I think they're probably emboldened by Tesla because Tesla had no experience building a car either. Of course, it took them 10 years. But Apple's willing to go for a long time.
Well, and I think that also the pre-orders for the new Tesla tells you that there's pent up interest in something other than what is coming out of Detroit or Japan or anything else. I mean,
Tesla was a Lotus, wasn't it?
It was. It was a Lotus Elite. They just made the drivetrain, and so they did it incrementally. They learned how to do that.
Yeah.
And then they made a very, very expensive Model S and then a very, very expensive Model X. And then they started looking at, as was their plan all along, a more affordable car.
You know, Apple helped make a Razor, and then they made an iPhone that had no 3G and no GPS, and then they made a better version.
Oh, I see. When you're talking about the Razor, you're talking about that horrific iTunes phone.
Yeah. I mean,
that was terrible.
The first one. The rocker, it was terrible.
The rocker. But, I mean, the rocker.
The rocker. Sorry, the rocker, yeah.
Weesh.
Well... How much did they help make it? I think they just write code for the chipset that would actually let it play content from iTunes.
From Plays, yeah, Fair Play.
But it was designed to get them a toe in the water, right? To kind of understand this business, I would bet.
Which is sort of like CarPlay too.
Yeah. I think we know from people who have been interviewed since then that Jobs hated that phone. It's hard to get any indication that Apple decided to develop that phone with the idea that they're going to have a partnership with Motorola. So it's possible that they did. It is certainly possible that they did it with the idea that we're going to have a close relationship with Motorola, and we can ask them lots of questions and get, because they're trying to woo us into making a special phone for them, they will give us all kinds of data that only Motorola has. about markets, about penetration, about networks, about efficiencies that will help us build an iPhone. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
There's also that fear that Alex was talking about, where you see that people's music listening is moving from unilateral, like unitasker iPods to multitasker converged devices, and people are carrying their phones, and will they want to carry a phone and an iPod? Mm-hmm. So if you can start getting onto phones, even if it's rudimentary in the beginning, it's the same way like you can start getting into cars, even if it's through a CarPlay system, it helps. Mm-hmm. It helps move them into the general ecosystem better.
I don't know. I think it gets them into the social ecosystem, which is valuable. It's underestimated how important it is to just have your executives and your engineers socializing with and talking to executives and engineers from other industries and other companies, because that's how you get a really deep understanding about how a certain business works. I don't know exactly the reasons for doing the rocker phone. Particularly, I didn't understand after I started using the rocker phone. I got my loaner unit, but I don't know. It's also possible they're trying a flag about if we don't know what we're going to do with phones yet. We're definitely developing something. We don't know what we want to do yet. Let's try on an experimental basis what it would be like to write software for someone else's hardware product. Like, could we simply add iTunes functionality and create something like CarPlay for phone devices, so that if anybody wants to have iTunes compatibility, we know we will quickly be able to build them what they need for that. Who knows? But it's there's just so many variables associated with this. It's building a car is going to be so difficult, but not just because of the complexity of the actual thing they're trying to build, but of who Apple is. Tesla is an unfounded. When they started making cars, they were a brand new company that never shipped anything. So they could make a huge win by simply saying, "We're going to build you a really expensive luxury sports car that accelerates like stink." It's like you will blow everybody else off the line with this because it's a purely electric car. And also, if you are a true car nut, if you are a true motor nut, you will have. We will give you a really cool electric car that doesn't look like it started off with a golf cart or something bought at Toys R Us. Then they built that into, we're going to build a luxury car that's a practical sedan that's also going to be appealing to people who, A, have lots of money, and, B, appreciate being one of the first to have a practical electric car. And now it's three or four generations. And they could just build and platform as they go. What would happen if Apple creates an Apple car? They are not – and design it with the intention of selling it to consumers. And they designed it the way they designed the Mac Pro. Where, okay, we've built you a cylinder, a tube, and we're gonna try to impress you with the cooling system, because we know that you're the thing that you really gets you all excited about spending $3,000 on a powerful computer is the cooling system and this wonderful tubular shape, and whereas the car people are going to be like, we absolutely don't care about the manufacturing process you came up with for making those fenders. We don't give one quarter of a damn that how much recyclable materials are going into the tires. We use this to drive to work every single day. We spend 2.5 stinking hours on stinking I-93 every five stinking days a week to try to get to work and back. And you have given us something where whenever we tell you that this isn't good for us, we don't enjoy this, or we think this is ugly, you want to show us a video of a head on a white background talking about chamfer angles.
Yeah, I think the battleground for cars, I think, is pretty well defined at this point, and that is that they have to be self-driving, they have to be electric. I think that there's definitely a market there somewhere that wants the other stuff, the one that drive their own and have gas cars. But the growth market is in those two areas, and I think that everybody knows that at that point. What Apple has to do is implement that well, and then they can add all the design. And I think that, I think that that is where we're going to continue to see growth. And right now it's very disruptive because you've got a bunch of manufacturers that are trying to figure out, they're in the same place that Apple's in. So if you look at Detroit or you look at Japan, they're trying to figure out, in Germany, like, how do I, move into the new market that I know I have to be in, but I can't figure out how to get out of the market that I'm in, and I think that that's going to be something that we're going to see, so it is a disruptive moment where if Apple's going to get into this market, it's going to be in the next, I think, probably the next 5 or 6 years. I don't think it needs to be any faster than that, but I think that after that, I think we look 10 years down the road and, it's going to be mostly electric and mostly self-driving. I think that, because I think people have, especially when you see that groundswell of what happened with Tesla, You know, people don't want to drive anymore. They want to text, you know, and they don't want to, and they don't want their hands to smell like gas. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
But boy, that's really living in the future, because there's a whole lot of, I mean, it's easy for us to say, oh, this is exciting, but that's years off.
Well, I mean, it's not that far off. I mean, there's
I'm buying one. I'm not saying I'm not into it, but I feel like that's going to be a long way off.
Well, let's just say the people who buy new cars. You know, like there is a, you know, when you're looking at where is your next market going to come from and how is that going to look, you know, there's definitely a group of people that, I mean, probably your largest group of people that are going to buy them for their own individual use are going to be looking for that, you know, and I think that, you know, my kids are older than 16 and my older kids are older than 16 and they have no interest in driving. You know, they drive a little bit here and there, but it's not interesting. It makes the car makers cry.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to drive. They don't identify themselves with their car the way we did when we were younger. They identify themselves with their Facebook page, you know, and so it's a much different view, and that is what's coming, you know, and you know, so I think that is a huge shift, and it creates the instability that's required to move into the market in a way that hasn't been available probably for the last 20 or 30 years.